Oh, hallelujah. Baruch Hashem, that He will help us today. Baruch Hashem. You know, Aristotle said, and of course, Maimonides wanted to be an Aristotelian in a way. He said, know thyself, I believe. I believe he was the one that said that. But the Bible says to know the Lord, to have the knowledge of God. And the point is that to know the Lord and to know yourself as a sinner takes a revelation. In the very beginning of the Bible, in Bereshit, chapter 3, what does it say about the first man? After they had eaten from the tree that the Lord told them not to eat from, there was this epiphany, or they, in other words, a certain revelation came, and this revelation was that they suddenly knew that they were naked, and because they knew that they were sinners. And you know, a lot of people don't know that they're sinners. It takes a revelation from the Lord to really know that you're a sinner, to really understand what being a sinner is. But when you read this book, and I'm talking about Bereshit, chapter 3, it says, "And he said to Adam, because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree which I commanded you, do not eat from it." And then he went on to give the penalty. And verse 7 in the same chapter says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked." They knew. They were exposed. They were found out by the Lord. You can be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. They were found out. Now, in another place it says, "The man is concerned about the world, how he can please his wife, not how he can please the Lord," in other words. And this is the big problem. It's called selfishness. We have a problem with selfishness. We're living for self. It says in the last days, people will be lovers of self. If you were, let's say, a womanizer before you came to faith, and in the last days you don't watch your life and your doctrine closely, you'll be woman crazy again. If you were man crazy before, you'll be man crazy again. You have to be very careful that you don't fall back into your old ways. And the primary problem is selfishness. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't really have a carnal nature. I'm a very good person and everything like that. There was a short story. Some of you may have read it. It was written by a Jewish man before the Holocaust. His name was Franz Kafka. And in this story, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying, because I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. In this story, the guy wakes up one morning and he tries to turn over in bed, and he notices that he's got this hard shell, and it's hard for him to maneuver himself in bed. He looks down, he sees these insect-like feet. All of a sudden, he discovers that he has had a metamorphosis. He has become a cockroach. A cockroach! And he's still himself, he's still Gregor, or whatever his name is, but he's also an insect. So there's two of him. He has two natures. And the people in the family, his sisters, his mother and father, they realize it's still Gregor, but he is now a cockroach. And so when his sister comes up to bring food, she has to bring two kinds of food, because the human part of him wants delicious, wholesome, fresh cooked food. But the insect part, the cockroach part, it wants food that's sort of fetid and rotten. And so she puts down both kinds of food for him and closes the door because she can't stand to look at him. And friend, let me tell you something. This is one of the most beautiful metaphors for your problem, because you have a carnal nature. How many know that even a believer has a carnal nature? There are a lot of exegetes. They get to Romans 6-7 and they say, oh no, this can't be talking about our beloved Shaul of Tarsus. This can't be talking about him. He must be referring to the way he was when he was a Jew. <You know? laughs> Kind of an anti-Semitic thing, you know. Friend, I want to tell you something. I want you to know this. There is a battle going on inside of you. Every believer has to die to self. In fact, the Bible says this, that you have to pick up the tree. And you know, when I did the Bible in this ultra kosher language called the Orthodox Jewish Bible, and I got to this particular verse, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and I was particularly thinking about the Lubavitchers. Here's the way it reads. And Rabbi Melech HaMoshiach was saying to all, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny self. If you're a selfish person, self-involved, self-centered, everything is about you, yourself, and I, or you. If everything revolves around you, if it's how you feel, how you want things, what you want, what you're into, what you'd like to do, if this is you, then friend, I got to tell you something. You got a big problem, because if you're going to follow the Lord, here's what he says. He says you have to deny yourself, lift up your etz shel mesiras nefesh, and then it says, yom, yom, daily, daily. I have to die daily, every day. It says you must do this and let him then, having denied himself, then follow me. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to do both. I'm going to follow self and I'm going to follow Yeshua. And if Yeshua doesn't quite come through the way self wants him to come through, then we're going to have a little discussion. It doesn't work that way, friend. He is the Lord. You are not the Lord. You remember Bill Bright? Hundreds of thousands of times he sketched it out on a little napkin. Here's the throne. Here's you sitting on the throne. That's self. Here's Mashiach, who should be on the throne. That's him. And now you got to trade seats, and you got to let him have the chair, because he's Adonainu, Moshiach Adonainu. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And so today I want to talk about this. It's very, very important. I want to talk about the cockroach factor. You say, oh, wait a minute. Don't go back to that Franz Kafka story about the guy who woke up one day and noticed that there had been a metamorphosis, that he had become a cockroach. And then his family had to deal with both the cockroach factor and the human factor. And you see, the thing is, what do you do with a cockroach? You lift your foot and you stomp on it, correct? You lift your foot and you stomp on it. And this is what you have to learn to do as a believer. You have to learn to stomp on your own cockroach factor. Because did you know that if you're going to follow the Lord, you may have to give up your life for the Lord? And if you're a selfish person who's self-involved, you're going to fall prey to the heresy called antinomianism or libertinism. You say, well, what are you talking about? It says, in the last days there will be lovers of self. It says, there will be weak-willed women laden with all kinds of guilt, always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Who will these women be taken advantage of by? There are certain David Koresh false, you know, they're sort of ministerial Casanovas. And they have a sort of a harem slash congregation. And they're sleeping with the girls. Do you remember Eli? You remember his two sons that were sleeping with the women, the servant girls? You remember what happened to Eli? You remember what happened to those two sons? The wages of sin is death. If your God is your belly, if you're a vain person, this is how the devil... You know, the devil, he's very wily. He's very subtle. He'll come along one day and he'll say, you know, I'd like to congratulate you. You're doing such a good job here at the congregation. You're bringing such good tithes and you're so, you know... You're coming very punctually. You're always on time. You come just when you should. We're so glad to see you here every week and everything. But really, when you think about yourself, are these people really what you need? Don't you need a man? Are there any marriageable men here? Don't you need a little more attention? Why is it that they don't listen to you when you say what you would like the congregation to do? There were a couple of women like this in Philippi, and they were into themselves, and they were kind of arguing about amongst themselves, and they were getting ready to bring a rift into the congregation. What does the Bible say? Pray for peace, for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And then it says, in another sign that we have, it says, let the peace of God prevail in the congregation, basically. But what I'm trying to get at is that when the devil comes and he tries to talk to you about yourself, what does Paul say to these women? He says, look at Timothy. I have no one like Timothy. Timothy never thinks about himself. He only thinks about other people. And that's why I know I can get him to come to you. And when he comes to you, you know, do you treat him right? And remember, while he's talking, he's a man who has Nero's sword dangling over his neck, and he's getting ready to be a martyr. And he's getting ready to give his nephesh, al-Kiddush Hashem, for the Lord. And these women are into self, and they're immature, and they're carnal. And they don't get it. They don't understand. And that's the way Peter was. Remember? First he said, get away from me because I'm a sinful man. Remember when all the fish were pointed out by the Lord? And then later on he forgot that he was a sinful man and that he had that cockroach problem. And he said, don't worry about anything. You know, I'll take care of things. I'll be your bodyguard. I'll correct you. I'm the greatest. No problem. And then the rooster crowed and he saw once again the cockroach problem. That he's a sinner. And friend, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Self-deception. This is how the devil operates. And an antinomian preacher who's sleeping with the ladies in the congregation is going to burn in hell. There are a lot of people who don't understand Romans. Romans chapter 5. They want to stop right there, and they want to flip to Romans 8, and they want to say in Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, that's great. I believe. Sure, I believe. No problem. And then they want to skip over to chapter 8, which says can somebody help me with chapter 8? You should have it memorized by now. It says, therefore.
Now no condemnation.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Mashiach. See, Paul said this, it is no longer I who live, but the Mashiach who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, Saul of Tarsus is not the one living, really. He's put to death every day. He dies daily. He's put to death every day. You know, Luke and Rav Shaul were comparing notes as they wrote their different books. And I'm sure that Rav Shaul knew about that verse, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, I think it is. And so it's not Saul who lived. Now, some people say, oh, but Saul, he was blameless according to the Torah. He said so himself in Philippians chapter 3, I believe. You know what, friend? You can be blameless as far as the external legalisms are concerned. You can lay the tefillin and keep the kosher and do all this stuff, and it can seem like you're a very, very observant Jew. That's everything is copacetic. But friend, let me tell you something. Because Rav Shaul was not born again and was not spirit-filled, as because he was Rav Shaul, the persecutor, The Torah did not really help him. Let me ask you something. When you're driving 60 miles an hour and your flesh is very foot heavy on the gas pedal, and then the policeman over here with the radar gun He's got it pointed at you. Let me ask you something. Does your flesh pressing on that gas pedal and that radar gun that wants to indict you and punish you, are they really working hand in hand to escort you toward the pearly gates? They are not. It says the Torah brings the knowledge of sin. The Torah brings conviction, and the Torah will get you punished, basically. Because remember, the Ten Commandments were given right there on the mountain. The very first thing that happened was the golden calf. Idolatry, the third command was broken. Then they got out in the wilderness and they started this Lashon Hara stuff, this complaining and, oh, my life is so terrible. I don't like my life. I want to blah, 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 blah. They were doing that, and the next thing you know, they're all dropping dead because the Torah brings death. The Torah brings judgment. The Torah brings wrath. So now they're all dropping dead. So don't think that your flesh with the Torah and legalisms are going to get you to heaven. It will not. And you see, there are two kinds of people here that are being dealt with between chapters 5 and chapter 8. One is the legalist, who is really not spirit-filled, and who really doesn't understand the need for a new birth and the need for mortification of the old man, that there's an old self and a new self. And the inner man who delights in the scriptures, because, you know, and really this is talking about Paul as a believer. In Romans chapter 7, verse 22, he's talking as a believer here. Because you cannot really delight in the scriptures unless you have the Ruach HaKodesh. Remember, Yeshua breathed on them. In chapters 14 and 15, he told them, he said, I'm going to give you the Paraclete, the Helper. He's going to bring you into all truth. He's going to help you to construe the scriptures and understand what they mean and teach them correctly. And not all should be rabbis. Not everybody should be a rabbi. You need to have the Ruach HaKodesh to help you understand and teach the Word of God. If you can teach the Word of God, because these are spiritual words, spiritually interpreted and spiritually discerned, then you're able to do the first part, which is when He breathed on them and they were able to really be born again. Because you see, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot say that Yeshua is Lord. But then there was another thing that He had to do. Yeshua had to regularize them. And what is that? He wanted them to have power, a power of love that would be poured out from the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Where does it talk about that? Romans chapter 5. And he's talking about the regularization of the mighty mikvah, tevilah, of the Ruach HaKodesh. A lot of people say, oh, I've jabbered in that glossolalia. I'm sure that I've had that experience. Well, do you have love? If you have love, look, you have to have love. If you speak in Lishonot Hadashot and have no love, it's just a jangling symbol. Chapter 5 of Romans talks about the mikvah mayim tevilah of love that the Ruach HaKodesh pours out on your heart. And then in chapter 8 he speaks about the wonderful prayer language you get when the Ruach HaKodesh prays through you with words that cannot be intelligibly uttered. These are words that are expressed, they are uttered, but not intelligibly uttered. They're uttered in a language of men or angels that is not intelligible without interpretation. And that's talking about Lishonot Hadashot. And you see, the Shulachim always regularize the believers. And they want to know, has this experience happened to you? Oh, it hasn't? Well, then let's take care of that. Remember Acts chapter 19. Rav Shaul lays hands on them and they begin to speak in unknown tongues. There are two mikvah mayim tevilahs. One is in water and one is in the Ruach HaKodesh. And you need both. When you confess Him, you can't confess Him without the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. But that's water. But what about the other one? In the Ruach HaKodesh, a mighty empowerment. You see, the thing is, when the Lord gives me that new inner man, Romans chapter 7, I think it's verse 22, and then Ephesians 3:16, that inner man that has the Ruach HaKodesh and has the Word of God. Hallelujah. When I have that wonderful Ruach HaKodesh, loving and empowered inner man, then I can put to death the old self. I can do it every day. Every day, when the devil comes and tempts me and he tries to resurrect that old Phil Goebel, tries to get him to think about things he used to think about, I can start speaking in Lishonot HaDeshot. I can get the scriptures in my ears. I can go on a fast. I can break the power of the devil. I can do this and I can keep myself in the love of God. I'm able to do this because I have a new source. And that's why Rav Shaul says, it's no longer I who live, but Mashiach who lives in me. She's talking about the new me, the new self. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's found in the book of Galatians. This is so important to see this, to understand this, that Rav Shaul, the old Rav Shaul, let me there's a shul here in Brooklyn. And they've made it their business to fight Messianic Passovers. Oh no, you cannot see the stripes and the piercings of the Mashiach in the matzah. Oh no, the afikoman is not the middle matzah broken, hidden in death and then brought back as a symbol of eternal life. Oh no, 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 this has nothing to do with that. In fact, we're going to stop those people and we're going to have a non-messianic Pesach. And we're going to show these messianists that Pesach they have has nothing to do with the true Pesach. Now, if Rav Shaul were not saved, not spirit-filled, and living in Brooklyn the way he was when he was a persecutor on the Damascus Road, he would be the rabbi of this jewel. He would be the rabbi of this shul. Stop putting him on some kind of pedestal, because that's what he was. But he says, even though I had that and everybody bowed and scraped and called me rabbi and I wasn't persecuted, and I lost everything. I was reviled. I was thrown out. Nevertheless. What I had as a persecutor, I consider as garbage compared to what I have now, which is Mashiach. And I just want to know Him. You see, the knowledge of the Lord. You cannot be an antinomian or a libertine and be hanging out with David Koresh, libertine, womanizing ministerial Casanovas, and be a lawless person. And at the same time, you cannot be a legalist. You know, if you become a messianic rabbi and you want to lead everybody to Israel on the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer, and you want them all out there at the graveyard doing necromancy, and you think that it's okay to mix that kind of forbidden stuff in with the Bible because you're a legalist, friend, you're lost too. Whether if you're a legalist, you're lost. If you're an antinomian, anti-legalist, you're lost. You're lost either way. That's why chapters 6, 7, and 8 are there. To show you that the old you has to die. It's so important to see this. And I want to give you I want to give you some scriptures here. I need to read from my trusty Bible here. I have a Bible. You know, each one of us ought to have a Bible that we love. Now this Bible here, this Bible I had during the time I was in the Wishing Well Motel, when I basically lost everything for the Lord. And in this Bible, I keep all my notes, all my prayer requests, and all my answers to prayer. And there are desperate little prayers in the margin. And every time the Lord does a miracle, every time He answers a prayer, I always write down the date. And I want you to read about these weak-willed women in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And I want you to read about the ministers, the ones that Paul is defrocking. Because what do? These ministers, they creep into their homes. They are creeps. An immoral minister is a creep. This is why the Lord had me study in Greek the book of Yehuda for 25 years, pounding it into my head. If you come from a family of immoral people where there was a lot of womanizing and a lot of immorality, and there's a generational curse on you, it'd be the same if you were in the Masons or something. If your grandfather was a Mason and your father was a Mason. These curses are real. And Satan knows about them, and he wants to sift your flesh, and he wants to find those areas where there's a weakness. And you have to learn how to fight the devil. And it says, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. And it says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are reprobate, rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You see, you have to remember, bad company corrupts good morals. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians. I want to read to you from chapter 15. And I want to explain to you about how you have to examine yourself. That's why we have the Lord's Supper, the Mashiach's Tish. Why? Because we have to examine ourselves. We have to make sure that we're walking in the faith. And we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. And here's what it says. Do not be misled. This is verse 33, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Bad company corrupts good character. If you're talking to an immoral minister, or if you're hanging out with one, if you're getting a soul tie with one, or if one is trying to tempt you to immorality, he's going to pull you under. And you have to, that's why if you go to an independent congregation where the minister is the little head honcho there, and he cannot be defrocked, he cannot be disciplined. Listen, friend, we're going to have somebody come in here on the Passover that can discipline me. I'm not some little tin sheriff here that can do whatever I want. I can be defrocked. I can be disciplined. If you're going to a quote-unquote independent congregation where there's no one over the pastor, he can never be disciplined. In other words, he's David Koresh, he's Jim Jones. Whatever he says is it. And you're going there, you're a fool. Because you could be like those guys drinking the Kool-Aid down there in Guyana, right? There was about 1,000 of them, wasn't there? And the little baby crying with her diaper off, screaming, and her parents are back there dying, and she should be dead too, but she didn't quite drink the Kool-Aid. And that's on the cover of Life magazine or something. A lot of people don't remember that. That was back in the 70s. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. There are some without the knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. In other words, he's weeping because there are people in the congregation, they aren't even saved, they don't know God. And the more you know yourself, and the more you know the old self, and the more that Dr. Jekyll knows Mr. Hyde, and agrees with Mr. Hyde, and thinks like Mr. Hyde, the more you are lost and you don't know God. And that's why even Nicodemus was told, you must be born again. That means the old self has got to die. The new self has got to come alive. This is a miracle. This is Lazarus coming out of the grave. You can't make yourself born. You didn't make yourself born the first time. You can't make yourself born the second time. It's a gift from God. It's not of yourself. It's something God does, but it has to happen. And if it does happen, and then if you get regularized by the mighty mikvah mayim of the tevilah, the Ruach HaKodesh, and you get the power to pray in heavenly languages and sit in heavenly places and have all the other gifts, discerning of spirits, interpretation, prophecy, and all this, you won't be easily deceived. And also, the new man will be so powerful that he can keep the old man underfoot. In other words, going back to the cockroach metaphor, that he can stomp on that cockroach every single day, and you must do that. If the old man is a lazy, a bum, a schlemiel, who takes about 5 minutes to get out of a chair, who would rather you get up and answer the door rather than him, who can't even eat, it takes him about an hour to get the... It says, you sluggard, you can't even get the food to your mouth. Look at the ant. Look at the ant, you sluggard. If that's the old you, you have to hate the old you. Hate the old you. If you don't hate the old you, then the old you might give you some problems. Remember Lot's wife? She didn't hate the old you. The old you, talking about Lot's wife, she liked the gay bars back there in Sodom. She liked clubbing on Saturday night. Oh yes! She didn't mind standing up with a gay couple when they went to the marriage chapel as the best man, woman, what would that be? Man, the best transvestite, whatever. Whatever it is. She didn't mind that. In fact, as the angels were leading her to salvation, the old Lot's wife sort of took over and sort of elbowed the Lord out of the way and took the wheel of the vehicle and started doing a U-turn. Friend, that is something you cannot do. I want to tell you something. I hate Phil Goebel. I hate him with a... You say, but wait. The Lord says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He's talking about the new self, stupid. He's not talking about the old self. He's not talking... Look, you want me to love the old guy who used to get drunk with Johnny Carson's brother in the clubs in Beverly Hills? That wicked, selfish, career-climbing guy who cared about nothing but his resume, his manager, and his agent? You want me to love that guy?
No.
Listen, some people, they take that into the ministry. It says, in Philippians, it says, some preach Mashiach out of the right motive. But other people preach him out of vainglory and selfish ambition. And they're jealous of me, so they want to speak ill of me so that they can put me down, because they're jealous. Because, you see, in the Messianic shuls, The people that are not reading their sermons, but they're reading Paul's sermons. And so Paul is there getting ready to be martyred, but that doesn't touch them. They're unfeeling. They could care less. They have no feelings. They're only thinking about themselves and their ministerial career. And they want to be remembered as greater than him, so they put him down. They tear him down in order to build themselves up. I can't be that kind of preacher. If I am, I'm in trouble. So every day I have to hate. Listen, what does it say in Psalm 97 verse 10? It says, hate what is evil. It also says that in Proverbs 8:13. Hate what is evil. You have to hate your old self. And if you're in counseling and the pastor says, now, is that the way you used to act? Sister, did you used to do those things? Yeah. Are you still doing them? Well, I guess so, yeah. And you start getting, I'm sorry, I guess I do, that's no good. You should be agreeing with him and saying, I hate that. I hate that. That person almost pulled me into hell. He's not going to get a second chance. He's not going to get a second chance. I'm going to put that guy, I'm going to stomp on that cockroach every single day. And I'm going to deny myself. Luke 9:23. If you don't remember anything else in this message, remember Luke 9:23. And look it up in the fourth edition of the Orthodox Jewish Bible. And Proverbs 8:13 says the same thing. Now, I want you to remember that in Isaiah 53, there is a plague. You remember You remember Naaman? He had a leprosy plague. And then it also talks about the Seh, the lamb. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. You cannot follow the lamb and also follow your plague. You can't. Lot's wife tried that. She tried it. It can't be done. You have to turn your back on your plague. And it's called repentance. What does it say? Unless you make teshuvah and repent, you shall all alike perish. I know this lady and everyone in her family, they're all antinomian Pentecostals. And basically anything goes. And so they say to me, oh yes, Nadine, yes, she's a dealer in Las Vegas, but she's a believer. She's a believer. Oh, yeah, she's a believer. She's just a dealer who's a believer. Friend, let me tell you something. Here's what you got to understand. You know what a proxy is? Let's say I'm in intensive care, right? And I'm in coma. But you're my healthcare proxy. Let's say you're my durable power of attorney in fact. Okay, the doctor comes in, they're going to pull the plug. If you say, as my proxy, no, you shall not. Even though you're not me, you are me. You are me, legally and in every other way. You are me. Because you're my proxy. You understand that? Now, let's talk about the old self. The old self. What does it say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9? It says, put off the old self. Remember Lazarus in his grave clothes? He changed clothes, I'm sure, before he sat down and ate with Yeshua. He put off those old grave clothes. You have to put off your old man. You have to get rid of it. You cannot continue to be an immature believer on and on and on and on and on. We cannot change your diapers forever as a believer. At a certain point, you have to put those old wicked rags away yourself. And then what does it say in Colossians chapter 3? Therefore, it says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And in another place, he says, put to death, Colossians chapter 3, therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. In other words, the wrath of God was on that old self. The wrath of God was on Saul of Tarsus. That's why he got a foretaste of the outer darkness and the Lord turned the lights out on him. And because Yeshua is our proxy, you say, where do you get that? He was wounded for our transgressions. He is our proxy. So when you see him with the crown of thorns and the blood coming down on his forehead, you are supposed to see yourself. Amen. Because he is your stand-in. Amen. This is how God feels about that old Phil Goble. That old Phil Goble getting drunk with Johnny Carson's brother in that bar in Beverly Hills. That guy. The way you want to know how the Lord feels about that guy? Well, look at his proxy. His proxy looks like the wrath of God has been unloaded on him. His proxy has blood streaming down his forehead. His proxy has his hands and feet pierced. His proxy is getting ready to get a spear in the side. His proxy is marred more than any man, it says in Isaiah 53. He's almost unrecognizable. And so if you want to know how the family feels about me, if I'm in coma, talk to my proxy. And if you want to know how God feels about the old man who is asleep, he uses a metaphor. Wake up! Wake up! Stop sinning! Examine yourself! Make sure that you're really saved! If you want to know how God feels about that old man, look at Mashiach, who was wounded for his transgressions. And the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against that old guy. Against that guy getting drunk with Johnny Carson's brother in the Beverly Hills bar. That's how the wrath of God is revealed. You say, where is it revealed? It's revealed by what happened to his proxy. And who is his proxy? The Mashiach ben David. And he loved me and gave himself for me. That's why I don't live for the old self. It's no longer I who live, but Mashiach who lives in me. And he'll never leave me or forsake me. I don't want to hear any more sad stories about how you're all alone and you need a man and you need a boyfriend and you need this and you need that and you need friends. You have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's living inside of you. If you're really saved, you know he lives inside of you. And if you're really saved, you're walking with him in communion with him. And if you're really saved, every day you put to death that cockroach you used to be. And you don't romanticize that cockroach that you used to be. You look at that cockroach and you see what it cost the Lord to save that cockroach. And let me tell you something, friend. You say, save from what? I save at the First Baptist. I don't save at a Baptist church. I don't pay my tithes. I save at the First National Bank. And so, as far as getting saved, what are you talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You need to be saved not just from hell, not just from Gehinnom, not just from their own Olam, eternal shame and contempt. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 66, the last verse. You need to be saved not just from the devil. You need to be saved not just from the world with its lusts that are passing away, but you need to be saved from the old self.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Phil Goble needs to be saved from Phil Goble. And if I have a midlife crisis and that old boy tries to come back and he says, I've been talking to the devil. He says I should have a hair transplant. He says I need plastic surgery and I need a fling. I need to get rid of my wife and I need to run off with the organist. Friend, let me tell you something. When that old boy does that, how many of you remember the Dracula movies? You remember he always says, I don't drink blood. In other words, I drink something else. And then he's got these three women. You remember these zombie type Dracula wives? And they come down the stairs. And this is the way many reverends are. They have an affair with this one in the choir, this one at the piano, and then they've got their old wife, but then there's the one other lady. And then after a while, these three women come forward and point the finger. And then the presbyter comes by and he gets defrocked. And this happens all the time. And these are so-called Pentecostals, and they're not Pentecostals because they don't understand Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. Because what does chapter 8, verse 13 say? If by the Ruach HaKodesh, Brashata Karashikiata, I put to death the deeds of the flesh, I will live. Romans 8, 13, that's what he's moving toward when he says, should I continue to sin so that grace will abound? God forbid. God forbid! Has v'shalom! And he's saying it with anger. What? I'm going to let that old persecutor get resurrected and fall into that trap again and be a sinner like that, a legalistic sinner, so that grace will abound? God forbid! It is no longer I who live, but Mashiach who lives in me. The old self has died. The thief had to die with Mashiach on the tree. Remember that? It's so important. So let's get back to Dracula. What you got to do, friend, is take the stake. You know, the gibbet, the tree, it was actually a stake. They were hanged on a stake. And you got to take that stake and drive it through the heart of the old Dracula you, the old bloodsucker that you used to be, that wicked reprobate. And if you say, I was always a good person, well, then you're just blind. You're just a Pharisee. I'm sorry. I got to talk about the Pharisees for a few minutes.
Yes.
Oh, let me talk about the Pharisees, friend. We have a few Pharisees around. Because what am I really preaching in this message? Luke 13, what does it say? Unless you repent, you will all alike perish. You say that you're a believer, but you're also a dealer in Vegas. Friend, if you don't repent of that gambling, you're going to perish with all the other gamblers and all the other dealers. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
I didn't hear it.
Amen.
Let me hear it a little louder.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, friend. This is called antinomianism. This is called libertinism. Paul says their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. things you ought to be ashamed of. They're not ashamed. They glory in that. They think it's kind of neat. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of great, you know. And they revel in it. And if you go back to your vomit, if you're a dog that goes back to your vomit, your old self is vomit. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You don't go back to that vomit. No way. No, like a pig that goes back to the swill. You don't go back to the swill. Your old self is swill. We want to grow in the likeness of Mashiach. We want to walk in the maturity of the Mashiach. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that if you look at Yeshua and you see that He is your proxy, He is the old self under the wrath of God, but in proxy form, being innocent Himself. He is the innocent lamb, but He's taking your place. And everything that God, every dart that God wanted to throw at you in His mercy, He's throwing at Him. And then down at His feet, what is going on? The Las Vegas dealers are rolling the dice. Are they believers? They certainly are not. If they were believers, would they be doing that? Of course not. If it cost Him what it cost Him to save them from that, why would they continue in the sin so that grace would abound? No way. And so you see, when a minister has a little moral failure, it's not a moral failure only. It's a terrible act of a false prophet. And some have been saved, but only as from the fire. And friend, let me tell you something. You ought to be afraid. You ought to fear God. You should not gloat when somebody falls. You should fear the Lord. And it says if someone is falls into a stumbling pit, you're supposed to correct them gently lest you yourself
Amen.
Would fall. Yeah. And you got to see this. It's something that the Lord has to show you. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 39. I'm talking about the full gospel. What do I mean when I talk about the Besuras HaGeulah, the good news of redemption, the full gospel? I'm saying don't leave out chapter 6, 7, and 8. Because if you really want to be saved, you have to repent, and that's what's involved. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. It says, let me just start with verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up the tree, the etz shel mesiras nefesh, anyone who does not take up the tree and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life, I had a midlife crisis, but you know, I did get my hair transplant. I did get my plastic surgery. I do have a young girlfriend. We are happy now. I got rid of that old wife of mine. She was so uninteresting and so boring. I have this exciting new chick. I'm like a young man. I feel like I found my life. I found my life. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life, hallelujah, whoever loses his life, but Phil, you might get beaten up. You don't want to go into New Square with these. You might not get out. Well, friend, what does it say here? Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Hallelujah, maybe I'll find my life. Maybe I'll find my life in the fellowship of His sufferings. Hallelujah. Friend, wouldn't it be terrible if you started out with the Lord, but you didn't finish with Him? It says, this is where you have to read the Messianic Jews, Hebrews book, all 13 chapters. It's all about people who flirted with becoming a Messianic Jew, but they went back. They went back. They turned their back on the Lord. And they refused to suffer outside the camp. Now, look at the Corinthians. They were believers, but they were carnal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Even as to babes in Mashiach. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able. You were not able. What does it say? The good that I want to do, I do not do. I don't seem to be able to do it. But the evil that I do, that I do. Who can deliver me from this body of sin, this flesh? And then thanks be to God through Mashiach. And now he goes into the spirit-filled aspect. Hallelujah. Of how if we turn to the Lord, there is no condemnation. And then if he fills us with the Holy Spirit, we have power. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You see, that's what happens. That people who seem to be believers are such carnal believers that they cause trouble in the house of God. Now, right now, we're getting ready to give out about 1,000 Jewish Bibles all over the Jewish areas. And right now in the congregation, the devil is sifting people. He's trying to hinder. We wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us. Now is the time for you to become Pentecostal. You say, oh, I have so many things on my mind. Listen, I have found as a believer, praying in tongues for about 5 or 6 hours will take care of just about any problem I have on that particular day. And friend, you have to live one day at a time. One day at a time. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. When I was down in Florida, starting all those Messianic congregations, the devil hit me so hard, I was almost suicidal. Not really, but almost. I was ready to have a nervous breakdown. But the Lord helped me. I began speaking in unknown tongues. And I spoke in unknown tongues for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours every day until I even lost my voice and couldn't even peep, couldn't even let out a little squeak. But the Lord used that to get me through that period. You've got to get through this period. What is the alternative? Kvetch? You want to kvetch? You want to die in the wilderness? You want to complain? You want to start a fight with somebody? You want a big congregational fight? You want strife? It says, let each one carry his own load. You want everybody to feel sorry for you and carry your load? Listen, friend, speak in tongues. There's a reason the Lord sent you to a Pentecostal congregation. There's a reason that we're still here after 40 years. We are Pentecostal. We are an Azusa Street operation. No matter what the devil hits us with, we have a means of escape. We can always exit to the third heaven and speak in tongues. And when I'm seated in heavenly places with him, speaking in the language of angels, when I'm up there, I don't care what you do with me down here. And also, when I'm drunk in the spirit, I'm as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. When I get in the car to throw out these Bibles, I'm going to be as drunk as a skunk in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to depend on my little GPS. Turn left, turn right. Turn left, turn right. But the rest of the time, here's a little Bible. There's another Bible. Oh, there's a Shomrim. They're looking at me like they like to kill me. Too bad. And it's just going to be like that until it's done. And that old guy, that old drunk back there with Donnie Carson's brother in Beverly Hills, he is not going to interfere with this. He's a cockroach. He's going to be stomped on. You understand what I'm talking about? I hate the old self. You have to hate the old self. The backslider doesn't die to self. He doesn't hate the self. He doesn't hate pride and vanity. Are you a vain person? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Marilyn Monroe would sit and stare at herself for hours. Miss Monroe, Clark Gable is waiting, the director's waiting, the crew is waiting, the cast is waiting. She would spit an expletive, usually the F word. And then she would go back and, just look at herself. Are you a little narcissistic? A little vain? Are you really a little vain? A little vain? You've got to flatten that cockroach. That cockroach, listen, you go in the kitchen, you see the cockroach. What do? Do you say, oh, sweet little cockroach, you're in the crackers. Oh, sweet little cockroach. No, you go over there with a board, whatever it takes. Sometimes you smash furniture. Sometimes you knock lights out. But you get that baby. You get him. You get him. That's what you got to do to the old self. Oh, hallelujah. He says, so it's no longer I the one doing it, but the sin nature which dwells in me. See, that's what I'm talking about, the old self with the sin nature. You say, yeah, but I'm born again. I don't have an old self. Oh, yes, you do. It's still creeping around in the morgue trying to resurrect. Every day you have to put it to death. You got to slam that Dracula stake through its heart every single day. When you went under in the mikvah, that was the first time you really put a big stake through that old boy's heart. But you have to do it every day after that as well, because it's not enough to be buried once. That boy has to be drowned every single day. And he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. And the way he proves that original sin is real is that all these people from Adam to Moshe, they didn't sin and transgress a mitzvah like Adam did, because he was given a mitzvah, and yet they all died too. They all died too, even though they hadn't gotten the 613 mitzvahs of Mount Sinai. They died too, and that proves that there is such a thing as original sin. Because if there wasn't, you wouldn't be dying. But you die just like Adam, because you have his sin nature. And you need a new nature, and that's what the new birth is all about. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Don't romanticize your old life. Oh yes, I was married to a man, he had $3 million, and we lived in a castle. Oh, if I could just come back to those days. Friend, during those days, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You and Donald Trump were two dead zombies walking around in that mansion. Don't make that. Don't romanticize the romantic life to the point where you hurt your romance with Yeshua. Listen, Song of Songs is all about your romance with Him. His banqueting table over you is love. He sees you through the lattice. He loves you. He's given Himself for you. He's the love of your soul. He's fairer than 10,000. He's the bright and shining star. He's the lily of the valley. He purchased your life to God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's with you. He's in you. Hallelujah. And he wants a preeminence in your life. He wants you to love Him. And if you take your eyes off Him and you look back at the old self and get deceived, self-deceived, and become a lover of self, like they will be in the last days. Terrible times will come. People will love, and I'm afraid in the Congress right now there are some politicians that love their political careers more than anything. And they would sell their mother. They would pull the plug if it made their constituents happy. And I'm afraid that our country is turning in the wrong direction now, with taxpayer dollars being spent on abortions. When I go to H&R Block to pay my taxes, I have to pay for that abortion, or I'm going to go to jail. And that's what we've become. The land of milk and honey that my great 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 grandfather came over here as a Puritan. And there were no Planned Parenthood places there. There were no gay marriage places. There were no... The country had not been corrupted and defiled. Satan hadn't done his wicked work here. Friend, this whole message is about how Satan plans to corrupt you. He plans to resurrect your old self. Get that old self back in the driver's seat, have you backslide, do a U-turn, go back to Sodom, and be destroyed. And that's what he wants. And don't give me some doctrine that it can't happen. If it couldn't happen, why would there be all of these warnings in the Bible that it might happen? That you have to endure to the end. That you have to put up with whatever comes to the end. Amen. And that means when I'm on my deathbed, and I'm 80 years old, I have to preach this message to myself and hang on until it's not necessary anymore because I'm in the presence of the Lord. Listen, friend, I'm going to preach hard. Here are the scriptures I've been preaching. 2 Timothy 3, 5-7. I've been preaching Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, basically. I've been trying to talk to exegete it as a Pentecostal. A lot of people forget that Rav Shaul is a Pentecostal. The way they read Romans is he's just a Baptist. He never speaks about regularizing people with a power encounter with the Holy Spirit, even though that's what he does in the book of Acts. Have you had that power encounter with the Holy Spirit since you believed? No, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Next thing you know, he's laying hands on them, and the Spirit of God is coming on them, and they're speaking in language that cannot be intelligibly uttered. What is it, Romans 8:26 or whatever that verse is. And they're being filled with a mighty outpouring of love in the Holy Spirit. Now they love souls, they're fearless for souls, they're empowered to win souls, and now they have an extra carburetor of power to run the race. And that's the way I exegeted it. Then I talked to you about hating the old self. Proverbs 8:13, Psalm 97, verse 10. Then I talked to you about Romans 7:15. And I'm going to read that one more time in closing. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. It says, I'm going to start with verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. For sin, that it might appear sin, has produced death in me through what is good. So that sin, through the commandment, through the mitzvah, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The reason I cannot be justified by legalisms, the reason that legalisms will not get me to heaven is because the law is like a radar gun that the police is pointing at me. And my flesh is like a heavy speeder's foot on the gas pedal. And the two do not work together to get you anywhere, but under onesh, punishment, onesh olam. And so the Torah is meant to bring you convicted and contrite to Mashiach, so that you can be forgiven, and so that you can receive Him who is eternal life. Then I gave you Colossians chapter 3 verses 9 and 10, and Romans 12 1 and 2 about the Korban High body, that you have to submit your body every day. Listen, in the book of Romans, he sees the believer like Isaac the Akedah. He's a living sacrifice. He says, "Where is the lamb, Father, to Abraham?" This is Genesis 22. And Abraham binds him. And as he's walking toward the altar, he is a dead man walking. He's a korban high. He's a living sacrifice. And you have to submit your body every day as a living sacrifice, and you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's why if your own thoughts are more interesting than the Bible, and you really don't want to listen to sermons, and you really rather turn the Lord off and get into your little moping mood of self-pity, then friend, you're really working against the Lord and against the means of grace. You've got to cooperate with the means of grace. You have to repent. And how do you repent? Romans chapter 6 and 7 tells you how to repent. And when you start to repent and you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, in chapter 8, that's what happens. And I also gave you Romans chapter 7, verse 22, about the inner man who loves the Word of God. That's the born-again inner man. The Word of God is somehow not accessible to you without the Ruach HaKodesh to help you interpret it and construe it and understand it and apply it. And so the Word of God is closed until you're born again. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, the same thing. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it talks about the old man and the new man. And then Romans 8:13, if by the Spirit of God, hallelujah, if by the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh and the fruit of the Ruach HaKodesh and everything that I can get from the Ruach HaKodesh, I put to death the old man. I will live. The new man will live. And this is my responsibility. And then Luke chapter 13 verses 1 and 2. Unless you repent, you will all alike perish. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to be going out on the street and giving out these Bibles, these Messianic Jewish Bibles, and the people we're giving them to are studying the Talmud day and night, but they haven't had their eyes opened yet. They don't have, when your eyes are open to the old self. Listen, when Paul opened his eyes on the Damascus Road, he saw the old self. He saw that he had become an enemy of the Lord. His religion had not really accomplished what he thought it was going to accomplish. He was an enemy of the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Peter's eyes were opened and he saw that he was a man of unclean lips in front of the Holy One of Israel. And so that's what has to happen. We have to pray for these people. Because unless their eyes are open, they will not be able to see the Lord, even if they read these Bibles that we're giving out. And here's the other thing. The Talmud that they're studying day and night, it makes a big mistake when it says in Kedushin, page 30, the B side of the page, it says that the Torah contains the antidote with which to master the Yetzer Hara evil inclination. And that, of course, is an error. That is refuted by Romans chapter 7. Because the corrupt old self cannot please God, and legalisms are useless. You have to be born again, and you've got to get Spirit-filled. And that's the only way that you will be able to master the Yetzer Hara evil inclination. Just giving people rules. When you tell that teenager, whatever you do, do not look at those naked girls on the internet when you're surfing the internet. The more you tell Johnny not to do that, the more curious, the more motivated, the more interested he is. The more he wants to know. Now, Mom, you're going to the shop, right? How long are you going to be gone? 3 hours? Oh, okay, Mom. See you when you get back. He can't wait. And you see, friend, this is the evil inclination. It can't be helped that way. You have to understand how the cockroach must be dealt with. Lord, I want to pray right now that there will be a metamorphosis. Not that everyone here will realize how good they are, but that they will realize what a cockroach they have become, like Franz Kafka in his short story. Oh God, I want to pray right now for a metamorphosis, that people will come from darkness to light, from death to life, and that they will be not only able to confess Yeshua and see Him as the Zun Pundur Oibishtu, but that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they will have power from on high to stand in the evil day and to put on the whole armor of God and to come against evil spirits and even their own flesh and even the temptations of the devil. And they will be able to turn away from the world and turn away from backsliding and go on with the Lord. And oh God, I want to pray, dear Lord, for each one of these books. I want to ask you, Lord, that each one of these books would find good ground, that we would be able to put these books everywhere, from Lakewood, New Jersey, to Orange County, to even to Israel, even to Mea Shearim, even to Postville, Iowa. And we'll give you all the praise. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Pastor, out in the office, I was doing something in the office, and two Bokers came, Yeshiva Bokers came, and they were looking at the flags, and they were looking at the scripture, which is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And they would say, what does it say? What does it say? I could hear every word. They didn't see me at all. And
no.
What does it say? What did it say? Oh, licked. Oh, a light unto my feet and a lamp. And then while you were preaching, this is all going on out there. So we don't see them walking by there, but they're looking into that window.
Oh, yeah.
They're going by there. And if over 100 people are hearing this message, it's as if we got the church packed out with the people flowing out. So I'd like to know who are these people, but perhaps they'll come around. So, friends, we have a lot to look forward to. Next Sunday, we're going to be setting up the final arrangements for the Pesach.
When is it?
Monday. Not this Monday. Next Monday's Passover, baby.
Oh, really?
And we're going